Okay, Alexander, let's talk about Marie Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. And here we have the boomerang, not of Russiagate, but of Ukrainegate. And we all remember Yovanovitch. She was like the mainstream media neoliberal hero of the day during the impeachment trials with her testimony and her quote unquote her bravery standing up to Trump. And her integrity and her honesty, Alexander, she was testifying during those impeachment hearings. She also gave closed door testimonies as well. And lo and behold, guess what? She was lying. And she was protecting who else but Joe and Hunter Biden, who were up to all kinds of no good in Ukraine with that famous, infamous company we all know now, which is Burisma Holdings. We've been reporting on this since 2014 on Burisma and what they've been up to. We've been reporting about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and what they've been up to in Ukraine since 2014 and the coup. And Yovanovitch said it many times that she had no idea what was going on with Burisma. She called it, quote unquote, on October 11th, 2019, quote, "It just wasn't a big deal," when she was asked about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Ukraine and Burisma. "It wasn't a big deal," she said. She didn't have an idea as to the severity of what was happening with Burisma. She was unaware that it was such an important story. She said she rarely engaged with the company or with any of the people involved in the Burisma scandal. But now, because of a Freedom of Information Act, we now know the truth. And let me take you to an article by John Solomon from the site Just the News and read you a paragraph as to what's going on. Quote, "But newly unearthed State Department memos obtained under the Freedom of Information Act show Yovanovitch's embassy in Kiev, including the ambassador herself, was engaged in several discussions and meetings about Burisma as the gas firm scrambled during the 2016 election and transition to settle a long-running corruption investigation and polish its image before President Trump took over." Alexander, further on down in the article, it notes that Yovanovitch sent upwards of 160 emails regarding Burisma, Biden, Joe Biden, and Hunter Biden. I think she knew a lot as to what was going on in Ukraine, what was going on with Burisma, what was going on with sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe and his son.
Well, of course she was. But let's just, before we unpack all of that, let's just remind ourselves of certain things that were happening in not so long ago, just a few weeks, months ago, during those extraordinary and bizarre and weird and ridiculous and phony impeachment proceedings. Remember who is being built up by the neoliberal media as the great heroine. I mean, this is Marie Yovanovitch. She was the great, impartial, impeccable, apolitical, professional, person, the Foreign Service officer of tremendous integrity, who was coming along and saying it as it was, and who had been hounded out of a job by all these evil intrigues, supposedly carried out by Rudy Giuliani and at Trump's insistence. That was so she was being built up in this incredible way. And the person, one of the people who was coming in, as I so well remember, for ferocious criticism and abuse, who was having his reputation trashed every day, you can find column inches about this, was John Solomon. John Solomon, was said to have been got too close to Giuliani, that he was also a paranoid, that he was a conspiracy theorist, that he was talking things that were simply not true. I mean, they're going after Solomon all the time. And of course, one of Solomon's crimes was that he had broached issues about Yovanovitch. He had said that the embassy, the Ukrainian embassy, the US embassy, Kiev, had been involved in protecting various people in Ukraine, And there'd even been a list, in fact, of people that she'd given the Ukrainian prosecutor who were not to be touched. And this is all said to be completely untrue. And, you know, Yovanovitch is this wonderful person, and Solomon is this bad person, this bad journalist who's lost his way in some fashion. Well, now what do we discover? We discover that, in fact, Solomon was right about Yovanovitch all along. She was, contrary to what she said before Congress, in let us remember impeachment proceedings. This wasn't just any, you know, coming along to give testimony to get to Congress about some issue, you know, foreign policy, you know, whether we should support Ukraine, you know, and its agricultural subsidies or something of that kind, the kind of things, you know, that our congressional overwatch committees will ask for information about. This was the impeachment of the President of the United States. She was a star witness, and she came along to Congress as a witness in those proceedings and said that Burisma Holdings, this absolutely critically important Ukrainian company, the company which Donald Trump and Zelensky discussed in that telephone call, which was the original reason for the impeachment, that company, an investigation into which Donald Trump had supposedly asked Zelensky to initiate, this company, which employed at a huge salary Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, she said, in those proceedings, in those impeachment proceedings, into Congress, I didn't really know anything about them. I got a briefing just before I'm here to give evidence about it. I'd read some press reports, but it wasn't a big issue. It wasn't a big story. I didn't really know. And in fact, what do we actually discover? She sent hundreds of emails about it. She'd met with lobbyists, American lobbyists, acting for this company in connection with the various criminal probes which had been brought against Burisma Holdings, the same company, as I said, which Hunter Biden was a director of, that she'd met with these lobbyists, that she'd read hundreds of pages of documents or been sent hundreds of pages of documents by these lobbyists connected to Burisma Holdings. And we're being asked to believe by this person that she actually knew nothing about it and that it wasn't a big deal. Well, she wasn't telling the truth. Now, whether she was literally lying, well, I leave that to the congressional investigators. I understand that the Senate Judiciary Committee is looking to call her to give evidence again, or at least wants to find out what was going on. Because, to be honest, to me, this looks terrible. Whatever she was up to, she wasn't telling the truth.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that there may be more investigations into Burisma and Hunter Biden and Ukraine and Yovanovitch. Going back to Solomon and another article that he wrote with the title, Senate Panel Moves to Issue Subpoena in Probe of Hunter Biden in Ukraine. He says this, the focus of the probe is whether Vice President Joe Biden, who led Obama's policy on Ukraine, engaged in the appearance of a conflict of interest or took any actions to assist Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings while his son Hunter worked on its board and was paid more than $3 million to his U.S.-based firm. Johnson said the subpoena would be issued to Blue Star Strategies, a Democratic consulting firm that worked for Burisma during the 2016 election cycle as the gas firm was trying to settle long-running Ukrainian criminal investigations against it. Just the News reported Tuesday that newly unearthed memos show a Blue Star representative met directly with U.S. Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch in December 2016 to discuss Burisma and repairing its scandal-tarred image. Yovanovitch failed to mention the meeting during her impeachment testimony last fall. And Johnson is a reference to Senator Ron Johnson of the committee chair, who is looking to investigate what was going on once again in Ukraine, once again with Burisma Holdings. Alexander, there it is. The Russiagate hoax has fallen apart. Russiagate is now Obamagate.
Yeah.
The whole Ukraine impeachment thing has fallen apart now.
Mm. Absolutely. That's it. Well, can I just say something else? Because this is in some ways the thing that worries me most about all of this. I mean, I've never really understood why during Ukraine Gate, Yovanovitch was called to give evidence, because she wasn't in fact party to this notorious telephone conversation between Donald Trump and Zelensky. And as we now know, she had all these contacts with, in fact, was Blue Star, the you know, Burisma's lobbyist group, which she didn't disclose. So one, why was she called to give evidence? That's the first thing. To this day, there's been no real explanation of this, because she wasn't giving any evidence that seemed to be germane to the issue that was supposed to be the issue in the impeachment. But also, it seems to me that the Democrats, Adam Schiff and company, who called her to give evidence, must have been pretty sure that she was going to deny all knowledge about, you know, what was going on with Burisma. Because had she come along to Congress and said the truth, well, and said, you know, well, at the time, Burisma was a huge issue. I was getting all these comment on all these people, these lobbyists were turning up the embassy, were asking me questions, trying to get my help, trying to improve the image of Burisma with the embassy. And I was getting hundreds of emails from them and hundreds of documents, pages of documents from them. Well, had that happened, Biden would have been in very serious trouble, it seems to me. Both Joe and Hunter Biden would have been in very serious trouble. And I think at that point, the whole impeachment process would have collapsed, because it would have turned out that, you know, that this issue that Zelensky and Trump had supposedly been talking about was a serious issue, and that there had been concerns, genuine concerns, about a conflict of interest. So how did the Democrats know that she wasn't going to say those things, that she wasn't going to confirm her knowledge, the extent of her knowledge about Burisma? Now, the only explanation I can come up with is that she must have had some contacts with people with whom Adam Schiff was already in contact. In other words, Schiff must have known both what she would say and what she wouldn't say. Now, that suggests to me that she wasn't called as an impartial witness. Now, I'm not sure what the protocols of all of this are, but, you know, if Schiff and Yovanovitch, as it rather seems to me, were in some form agreeing her evidence with each other, then that does cast a very, very, very interesting light on those impeachment proceedings. And it does make you wonder whether the same wasn't happening with some of the other witnesses. Remember the way in which those witnesses were handled. The Republicans were very restricted in the questions they could ask them. Very restricted. They weren't really able to cross-examine them to any great extent. And of course, Schiff rehearsed their testimony by first hearing them in a basement room with only a very small select group of Republicans present and the media excluded. So it seems to me that we have many questions, very many questions, not just about Yovanovitch, not just now about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Burisma. Well, I mean, the questions you could ask about those are huge and almost unlimited. But about the conduct of those impeachment proceedings themselves, it seems to me that to coin a phrase we have heard an awful lot about recently, in recent years, there was some degree of collusion between Adam Schiff and the Democrats and the witnesses they called.
Yeah, Schiff colluded with Yovanovitch. Yovanovitch was brought in to testify mainly as a prop. I mean, she was just a tool to demonize Trump and to bring in a woman ambassador, which was being victimized by, you know, the evil orange president. Orange man bad. That was the whole narrative of Yovanovitch. She was just a prop.
I agree with that. I also think she had another role, actually, which was to try to debunk the story that there was anything really wrong with Burisma.
And her other purpose was once again to provide cover for Joe and Hunter Biden.
Correct.
Same old story. All these people providing all these middle manager type foot soldiers, whether they're in the media, whether they're diplomats, whether they're public servants, whether they're judges, i.e. Sullivan, all these people providing cover for this group of elites, Obama's, Clinton's, Biden's. Same old story, providing cover for their corruption.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt that Burisma was an extremely dirty and corrupt company.
Absolutely, and was known to be by people within the embassy, the U.S. embassy. And, you know, that begs a number of questions, by the way. Why does Burisma need to persuade the U.S. embassy of its own honesty? What is going on there? I mean, that in itself, I would have thought, begs questions. But fundamentally, You hit the nail on it, the nail of it. She was providing cover for the Bidens by trying to say, well, there was no big deal about Burisma at all. No big deal about Hunter Biden working for it. But by doing that, she was put in a situation where she came before Congress and said things which were untrue, because bear in mind, you can lie by omission as well as by, you know, action. you can, if you hold back information, which makes your testimony, the evidence you give, misleading, that in itself is a type of lie.
Yeah, Solomon used the word, and just as a final reminder, once again, because I think we should never forget what Biden did in Ukraine. Yeah. He used the word that Biden was Obama's point man in Ukraine. And we've said it many times, Alexander, many times. If you can touch on this just a little bit. Biden was much more than a point man of Ukraine. He was a de facto ruler of Ukraine. And he put the country through a living hell. He pushed for a bloody war, family against family, brother against brother.
Yeah.
West against East.
Yeah.
He pushed that. He had his son on the board of Burisma making $3 million a year. Burisma was looking to do all kinds of nefarious, dirty energy practices in the east of Ukraine. They wanted to clear out land. They wanted to get to the energy resources there as well. Biden was laundering God knows how much money. I wish we could know the amounts of money that he was laundering out of Ukraine, through to Cyprus, up into Latvia, and to the United States. This thing is so dirty and stinking corrupt. We should never forget that. And Biden was the man at the top of the pyramid running it all.
Indeed. I mean, he chaired cabinet meetings. He chaired the meeting, I remember, of the Ukrainian government, which decided to launch the war in eastern Ukraine in the spring of 2014, a war which resulted in thousands of people dying, and which came very close, has in fact wrecked Ukraine. So he was the actual de facto leader of Ukraine. By the way, in Ukraine itself, this is not even disputed. And can I just come back to Yovanovitch? Not only was Yovanovitch providing cover for Biden and his son Hunter Biden, but a lot of this toing and froing, you know, all these emails that were going backwards and forwards about Burisma that, you know, Yovanovitch was writing and receiving, all these documents that were happening. All this was happening. A lot of this was happening in the autumn and winter of autumn of 2016, winter of 2017, January 2017. So Yovanovitch in January 2017 is dealing all the time on a big way with Burisma Holdings and its American team of lobbyists, and who is also passing through Kiev and undoubtedly passing through the embassy at exactly that time in January 2017. His last visit to the country as vice president, Joe Biden. And of course, he and Yovanovitch would have met and spoken to each other. I don't know what they discussed. I'm not going to try and guess, but she was dealing with all this information about a company in which the vice president's son was a member of the board, and she was meeting the father.
So corrupt.
Who was president?
Who are they kidding? Who are they kidding now?
Well,
when Biden says, "I don't know what my son was up to in Ukraine," we never discuss that stuff.
Well, of
course,
who are
they kidding?
Well, of course, I mean, maybe they don't. But what about Yovanovitch? Does she come along and say, "You know, Mr. Vice President, you know, I'm getting all this information about this company. Are you, you know, I noticed there that on the board of directors, you know, there's Hunter Biden. He wouldn't by any chance be your son, would he? I mean, seriously, as you said, I mean, this is, there comes a point when these denials take on a surreal quality. And we know that there were other officials in the embassy, the US embassy, that were very concerned that there was a conflict of interest between Biden and Hunter Biden being a member of the board of directors of Burisma Holdings. And it's very difficult to, I mean, it is impossible to believe. Nobody with, you know, two brain cells to rub together would believe that Yovanovitch wasn't aware of all of this and wasn't, you know, at some level involved in concealing it or covering for the Bidens in respect of it. So I'm afraid, well done, John Solomon, for getting all this information out again. You've come in, as I said, for much abuse for doing so. But once again, you've been proved right, and your critics have been proved wrong, and Marie Yovanovitch has many questions to answer.
Yeah. She perjured herself, I guess. She lied under oath.
Well, I mean,
I wonder if she's going to get the Michael Flynn treatment.
Seemingly not, yeah. Presumably not. In fact, definitely not.
Well, did she perjure herself Did she perjure herself?
Well, this is as I said, I'd say yes. I would say yes. As I said, you can lie by omission, just as you can lie by commission. You come along to Congress and you withhold from Congress vast areas of information that you actually know about, and that gives Congress a completely misleading idea about what happened and what you know. Then that is a form of lying, I would say. And lying to Congress is perjury. So I would say she did.
Hmm. All right.
I mean, that's my opinion anyway.
I agree. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Direct. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like and share this video with everybody you know. That helps us out a lot and we appreciate it. Also go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, t-shirts, polo shirts, all kinds of good things. And also, check us out on Patreon, PayPal, and Subscribestar. Please donate to us on those platforms. That really helps us out a lot. And Alexander, the Patriotic Legacy. We're running another contest with our friends at Patriotic Legacy.
Turn me on.
Yep, for Patriot Beacon Blue Camouflage. So Durant 20, you put that code in at checkout, you'll get 20% off. And you will end it when you make a purchase over $30. You will automatically be registered into the contest for one Patriotic Beacon, 3 blue camouflage, 1 tactical pen, and 1 monkey fist ball. It is a great contest as well from our friends at Patriotic Legacy. And they do ship internationally as well, all over the world. So Alexander, Durant Shop merchandise, Patriotic Legacy. gear. We got all kinds of great stuff.
We've got amazing stuff. And can I just say, this is the Patriot Beacon, and you absolutely cannot be without this. This is, well, I call it a torch. Americans call it a flashlight. Whichever you call it, it is the best torch or flashlight in the world, bar none. It is amazing. It has got the most amazingly powerful beam. So if you find yourself lost in a dark place at night, as I have many times done, got terrible night vision, by the way, then it is the best torch to have. It's got this extraordinary, powerful beam of very clear light. You can see huge distances with it, and you can see incredibly clearly. And if it's too strong, and you know there's people coming, you can dim it, and you can flash. Which is extremely useful, by the way, if you're on a road and you need to alert oncoming traffic to the fact that you're there. It's a much more effective way to do it than have a constant light, which people can disregard. So it's got that safety feature, that incredibly important safety feature also. It's also beautifully made. It's incredibly strong. It's all metal, as far as I can, all metal. And that gives it that sense of solidity and strength, which you really want in a torch like this. And of course, you've also got, you don't need to worry about dropping it, because you can hold it around your hand. It's got the sort of sleeve there, which is incredibly useful. And of course, it's got all sorts of other things, as well as being a torch. If you lose your way, and I'm always losing my way, especially when I'm walking with my dogs on mountains or in forests or whatever, it's got a compass, so you can find your bearings very quickly. It's got a magnet, so if you keep it in your car, and I always have it in my car, especially if I'm night driving, a magnet, you can stick it on a surface and it will stay there. It never runs out, because it doesn't work on batteries, it's solar powered. So provided you keep it in the light, it will always recharge, and you're safe. You can be sure and confident that it will work for you and that it won't fail you. It's happened to me many times with other torches. I forget to recharge the batteries and they suddenly go. Well, this cannot happen with this torch. If you need to recharge your smartphone or your laptop or your tablet, well, you've actually got a port there, so you can do it. As I said, it's got that power to do that. It's also, I said it was incredibly strong. That makes it a great tool. So if you're in your car and you're in an accident and you have to break the windscreen, I hope never happens to you, but you know sometimes it does to some people. Well, you've got the tool to break the windscreen, it's there, or you can use it just as an ordinary hammer. It would work like that. And of course, you've got the other accessory, which you can cut your seatbelt in order to get out of your car. And it's got one last thing for me, which is incredibly useful. It's got an alarm, which I won't keep on very long, because when I'm walking in the dark with my dogs, it's the way to call them back. They will immediately come running, but of course you can use it for other things. You know, if you have to make an alarm, well, you've got it there also. So this is the Patriot Beacon. As Alex correctly said, it ships internationally. It's made in the United States. It's one of those extraordinarily high-end, wonderfully made products in which the US excels, but you can get it internationally. They will ship it to you. So get it in camouflage blue, Patriot Beacon 3. Join this marvelous contest. You really can't afford not to have one. That is my view, my considered view. And of course, we don't just have Patriot Beacons, which you can find on our site. You can also come to our own shop and get our own amazing products, our amazing, wonderful magic mugs, of which this is one example, the best mugs in the world, bar none, as I should know, as the world expert on the subject, capacious, strong, elegant, light, also hard wearing. I've had my mugs for over a year and a half now, and not one of them is chipped or cracked or discolored or anything. They're perfect mugs. And we also have amazing shirts like the t-shirt I'm wearing now. All our shirts are 100% cotton. All our shirts are stylish and comfortable. We have short sleeve t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts. We also have v-neck shirts, and we have the best polo shirts in the world. The kind of shirt that you can go and meet the Queen at Balmoral Inn and you'd feel absolutely fine and at home. And of course, we've also got other great things. You've got hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we've got amazing ebooks on topics like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, which we've been talking about today on this program, Epstein, also Brexit, and even the oil price issue. So come to our shop, support the Duran, join the contest, get yourself a Patriot beacon. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below, and you will find a link to the Patriotic Legacy to purchase a Patriot beacon. You will find that link in the description box down below as well. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.